You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Prescriptions, copays, lab tests. Even with insurance, healthcare can cost thousands every year. But not for me, because I'm enrolled in VA healthcare. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
A factual data creation facility production.
In a world where everyone seems to have a podcast, here's one that perpetually flies under the radar until crashing and burning. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring you the OFNT Podcast.
Welcome to episode 263, which I'm calling Last Ambies. Yeah, I actually watched the 5th Annual Podcast Academy's Ambie Awards, so you didn't have to. Yeah, that old gag. You can give me credit for taking one for the team.
Thank you.
Yes, they were that bad. Well, today I have some Apple and other tech news for a change. I ramble on about tech I'm using, celebrate the return of a television series, and wrap it all up with my observations of the Podcast Academy's award show. Well, it's time to get started now.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Well, before I get started, in the last episode, I had stated that a Major League Baseball expansion team would be located in the city of Memphis, Tennessee. Well, that's not true.
No.
If the state of Tennessee actually does manage to land an MLB franchise, it will be located in the city of Nashville, which is still too far for me to travel to watch a baseball game and make it back in one day. Tech news. Everyone wants in on TikTok these days.
Yes.
According to an article on 9to5mac.com, which quotes an article from the New York Times, and that was a Freudian slip, the latest would-be suitor for the controversial social media platform is none other than Amazon.
What?
According to the guys over on the No Agenda podcast, TikTok's basically a front for the shilling of Chinese junk products anyway. So Amazon would probably be the best fit as the new owner of the app. I can't speak to that accusation about TikTok made by the No Agenda host, because I've never had, nor do I ever intend on having, an account on that platform. There were no financial numbers quoted, so we don't know how much money Amazon offered to purchase TikTok. Well, I'm guessing it was a lot. The original update for the sale or divestment of TikTok was January 19th, but President Trump extended that until April 5th, and then extended that deadline for another 75 days. So, Amazon has some breathing room in order to sweeten the deal.
I beat China all the time.
That remains to be seen, Mr. President. That remains to be seen. From AndroidAuthority.com, the new mid-range phone from Google, the Pixel 9a, will throttle your phone's battery and charging speed whether you want it to or not.
Aww.
Most smartphones these days, and also in days of yore, did and continue to do this.
Oh no, why?
It's all about protecting the battery. Supposedly, and I really don't believe this, but the higher-end Pixels don't do this, but will have the option to do so in the future. I doubt users of the Pixel 9a and beyond will notice this throttling until the phone's battery ages. which can be years before it kicks in with normal usage. Power users? Well, that's a different story. iPhones reportedly do this, and I've never noticed it. But then again, I'm nowhere near being a power user. So to me, it's all good. I've got to point out, though, Pixel phones of the past have suffered from issues with their batteries. In less than a month, Microsoft-owned trailblazing VoIP communications app Skype will be discontinued. Microsoft is encouraging current Skype users to move on over to the company's Teams app. People who work, or in my case, have worked, in organizations and businesses which run on Microsoft 365 will be all too familiar with Teams and have probably already moved over to it, and they will have no problems doing so. But what about regular consumers? An article on AndroidPolice.com has the author lamenting about Skype's imminent demise, which is set for May 5th of this year. She points out that Skype was perfect for casual communications, while Teams leaves a lot to be desired, and I agree with her. The author's biggest concern is the possible loss of contacts she's accumulated in over a decade of using Skype. Not everyone will be migrating over to Teams. She also points out that Teams works better as a desktop computer app than it does on a smartphone. Again, I agree with her. I can see why Microsoft is doing this. Teams has over 320 million users, while Skype has less than 40 million users, and that's by the latest estimates. But in today's VoIP world, consumers have a lot more choices than they did back when Skype ruled the VoIP world. You have Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, iMessage, and a myriad of other apps that, to be honest, Skype failed to keep up with. If I were the author, I'd use Teams as my desktop app and find a consensus amongst her Skype contacts of what app they're switching to for mobile communication. That's about all you can do. As I shared with you when first reporting that Skype was being retired a few episodes ago, I had ditched it years ago when I started receiving junk calls, mainly from the country of Guyana, on an all-too-regular basis. In my current situation, I have Teams on both my phone, iPad, and computers to be only used for official-type stuff. Even that has backfired on me. All of my official-type communications over the years I've been retired has been over Zoom, and that's because the others that I was conducting business with didn't use Teams. MediaTek is a Taiwan-based computer chip manufacturer whose products, well, at least until lately, were consigned to low to mid-range smartphones. In recent years, the company has been stepping up its game and seemed to be approaching the quality and performance of their rivals. Think of the old Intel versus AMD rivalry. MediaTek's chips now power many upper mid-range Android phones, and they're shooting for the high-end ranges. According to a report from AndroidAuthority.com, the company announced the Companio Ultra chip last week. This chip was designed to offer a high-performance alternative for Chromebooks. Equipped with a powerful NPU, which was tailored for Google's Gemini AI, which aims to bring the full features of AI to Chromebooks. Well, this is a smart strategy for MediaTek. Chrome OS is being merged with Android by the Big G, so this is a way for them to get a full 2 feet into that market instead of their current 1 foot in the door. I'd still like to pick up a Chromebook. Perhaps I will when MediaTek-powered models hit the market. I've been looking forward to receiving Amazon's Alexa Plus on my numerous Echoes, which are strewn around my household. It was supposed to be here in March, but that was delayed until April. Though I have the Echo models required for Alexa Plus, and Amazon says that it's rolling it out now for these models, I've yet to receive the new AI-powered digital assistant. Now I'm finding out that, like Apple Intelligence, Alexa Plus will also be hobbled when I finally do receive it on my Echoes.
What the hell?
Now, I won't be booking flights, ordering food delivery, or sending and receiving text messages using Alexa Plus. The only feature I want is conversational ability. Not the stunted one-question interaction I currently have with it. I remember vaporware being a thing when smartphones were first on the market. And now it appears that it has come back with a vengeance, this time with AI. Apple's App Store used to host free VPN apps with ties to China's military. And that's the headline of an article on AppleInsider.com. Well, you know the old tech world saying, if the product is free, then you are the product. Sage words.
Yes.
According to the article, the research group Tech Transparency Project looked into the top 100 free virtual private network services offered in the app stores to users in the USA. It was found that 20 of these VPN apps could be traced back to China, where local laws obligate companies to make available all user data to authorities. Several of these VPN apps were traced back to an outfit named Qihu 365, which was sanctioned back in 2020 by the U.S. government on national security grounds because of its connection to the Chinese military. A 2015 article from the Chinese Daily News Organization revealed that the main characters of Qihu are the People's Liberation Army and at least 8 Chinese government ministries. Well, to get around this, the company hid its ownership by hiding behind shell companies. Where have I heard that before?
Come on, man.
Oh, that's right. Qihu 365's products include ProxyMaster, ThunderVPN, SnapVPN, Signal Secure VPN, and TurboVPN. I checked and these apps are still available on Apple's App Store as of Saturday. I guess Apple keeps them around for the dwindling amount of Chinese iPhone users who have no choice but to use local VPNs. Foreign VPN services are not allowed. I use PIA VPN, which I pay for, but I have to ask, are any VPNs really secure these days?
I don't know, mate.
According to Bloomberg's leaker du jour, Mr. Mark Gurman, Apple has plans on releasing an updated health app, which will act as an AI agent trained by Apple's own in-house physicians and using health data from Apple health monitoring devices, i.e. the Apple Watch. This new health app aims to replicate your real doctor.
What?
What could go wrong? There are also plans to meld this new health app with the Apple Fitness Plus app by monitoring your workouts using the cameras on the back of the iPhone. Now we're really getting scary here. After evaluating all this data, the health app will show you videos, no doubt hosted by some celebrity physician, explaining concerning health trends to you. Geez, how much storage space will this new health app need on your phone? Maybe it will be based in the cloud, which is just another person's computer. This new health app has a target release date of the middle of 2026 and will be part of the iOS 19.4 update. So what do you think of this? Thumbs up, thumbs down, or like me, undecided? India's Financial Times reports that the iPhone assembler Foxconn has received a request from Apple to dramatically boost iPhone production in that country, made possible by a new plant being built in Bengaluru. The goal is to build 25 to 30 million iPhones at Foxconn's India-based factories. That would more than double the number of iPhones made in India last year. This is further evidence of the giant fruit companies diversifying not only its supply chain, but its manufacturing base. That makes sense, especially business sense. I have some more Apple news, but I'll save these items for the next episode. I have a lot of stuff to get to in the other sections. Or do I? Keep listening to find out. Tech I'm using. No new tech can be found around the OFNT household this week. That'll probably be the case until Father's Day or beyond. A new iPad is what I'm craving these days, and I'm going for a 13-inch model this time. I'm still undecided whether I'll go for the iPad Pro or iPad Air. Well, I'm again leaning towards the Air, thinking that for my use cases, the Air will be just fine, with the added bonus of saving a bunch of cash. Which is always appreciated. The Roomba robot vacuum is earning its keep, which is augmenting a regular vacuum, not replacing it. My appreciation of the Apple Magic Keyboard is increasing. Seems to be getting better to type on with each use. I guess like a lot of things, it just needed a proper breaking in. I had originally purchased it when I bought my Mac Mini, but never used it, instead using the old Magic Keyboard for my 2015 iMac. I then went on to a Logitech mechanical keyboard my son gifted me. My old fart hands are sort of arthritic these days, though. So long bouts of typing on the Logitech takes its toll. The one thing I'll never go back to, at least in its current form, is the Apple Magic Mouse. My ExtraFi mouse is of the old style, meaning a separate left and right button to click on, and a mechanical scroll wheel. It's so much easier to do functions like copy and paste with it, compared to the Magic Mouse, that is. My only complaint about the ExtraFi mouse is that it scrolls pages very slow. The Magic Mouse has it beaten that one area. The Satechi USB hub I purchased for my Mac Mini is coming in handy, and that's mainly because of the abundance of USB-A connections. I have a lot of older gear in use that requires those types of USB connections. I've yet to try out the SD memory card slots, but I'm thinking of buying a 1TB SD card and using it for backup storage. While I was tempted to purchase a newfangled Mac Mini, the Satechi hub has made such a purchase unnecessary. I'm satisfied with my current Mini, as well as my 15-inch MacBook Air. My now old, I guess, Logitech web camera, which was bought for me by my son at great expense, it was purchased during the bad old days of COVID,
China,
works great for video calling with my lovely wife, and I'm glad I have it. I haven't yet hooked up my HomePod Minis to my computer yet. I'll hopefully get around to that next week. I did order a couple of iPhone stands for my master bedroom's attached bathroom, and it was difficult finding stands that sort of matched the color of it, which is white with white speckled counters. The speckling is a light grayish color. I figured I'd just get the stands in basic white, but even after looking through page after page on Amazon, none could be found. Finally, I found some which were white with light black and red speckling. Close enough. I use an app on my phone while brushing my teeth. My lovely wife uses her phone to monitor any text or phone call she might miss. The one exception is calls or texts from me. Those can always be ignored.
Aw, yeah.
Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family, all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at Aura.com/listen. That's AURA.com/listen.
Entertainment news. The Amazon television series Bosch Legacy is back for its final season on Prime Video. It appears it had been for quite some time, but I was never notified. It's as if Amazon doesn't even want to promote the show any longer. Bosch Legacy is the follow-on to the original Bosch series and is a police procedural-type show. Bosch is the last show standing of the original programming Amazon launched Prime Video with. Of those first batch of original shows, I considered almost every one of them good. Unfortunately, most of those shows only lasted two seasons before being canceled. It was a strong start for Prime Video, which is just a shell of its former self these days. Well, that's my opinion. Shows like Alpha House, Goliath, and many others come to mind. I'm about five episodes in and kind of sad that the show is ending. Not only is the show ending, but an era is ending. I've watched the first three episodes of the new Apple TV Plus series, The Studio, and I think Apple has another hit on their hands. Though I'm not a big fan of Seth Rogen's work, I think he's pretty darn good in The Studio, which he also produced. The plot of the series is that Rogen's character gets unexpectedly promoted to studio head under one condition. He has to green light and produce a film based on the Kool-Aid character.
Huh?
Of course, laughter ensues as Rogen and his crew bungle into various ridiculous scenarios. The show got this jaded old fart to chuckle, so there's that. It's not too often that I actually laugh watching these modern comedies. The only criticism of the show I've heard has come from actual Hollywood types, mostly executives, claiming that the industry is nothing like that being portrayed in the show. Well, duh. The average viewer does not and will not care. From what I've read in the past, the show is not far off from fact. Many years ago, during the great 1980s, which can be considered as being the day I used to read GQ magazine. I was a snappy dresser back then. The magazine had a series of articles which ran monthly for a while, and they were called Diary of a Mad Screenwriter. These articles were hilarious, and I thought they were works of fiction. The articles follow a Hollywood screenwriter, obviously, making movie plot pitches to studio execs. His first pitches were darn good, but the execs would always make him alter the script with ridiculous changes. As I said, I thought these articles were fictional until I started seeing actual television series and movies based on his pitches showing up on my television and in movie theaters.
What?
I've attempted using the intertubes to find these articles to no avail. If your online searching skills are superior to mine, and they probably are, find Diary of a Mad Screenwriter and read them. You won't regret it. Podcast news. As with the previous mic test I ran years ago, no one bothered to vote on which microphone sounded the best. Well, anyway, family members thought the Heil PR40 and the Neumann TLM-102 sounded the best. Yeah, I kind of agree with them. I think the Heil PR40 could be considered the dynamic-style microphone with the most condenser-style mic characteristics. While I love my Electrovoice RE20, the Heil, like the Neumann, is much smaller than the RE20, making them easier to use. My family members also commented that all of the microphones used sounded good, proving the point that listeners don't really care about the virtues of one mic compared to another.
No.
As long as the audio is acceptable.
Yes.
So I'm declaring it case closed. I'll use whatever mic I feel like using. I'm what you call a gearhead. It's a disposition that costs a lot of money, though. I'm trying to ease out of this lifestyle choice as I speak. Wish me luck.
Well, good luck with that, bro.
Yeah. Good luck with that, bro.
According to an article from podnews.net, the Apple Podcast app is still the most used app for listening to podcasts. Emphasis on the listening within the United States. Second was YouTube, and third was Spotify. I'm sure in the rest of the world, Spotify is on the top of the list. I was all in on Spotify, but the company crams too much into the app without updating the user interface of it. What started off as a music listening app now features podcasts, audiobooks, and video. There's probably more things packed into the Spotify app that I don't even know about. Number four on the list was the iHeartRadio app. I'm guessing that most podcast listeners that use this app do so while driving. The only apps that I use that were on the list is Amazon Music, which has the best CarPlay integrations, and Pocket Casts, which I only occasionally use these days. I mainly use Castomatic, which is the simplest and cheapest to subscribe to podcasting 2.0 compliant app. I've tried more popular and expensive 2.0 apps, but I keep coming back to Castomatic. I prefer its user interface over those of the others. Now, if the dev of Castomatic would add alerts for when podcasts start their live streams, I'd be a happy camper. I believe the Apple Podcast app is number one because most consumers just use the apps that come with their new phone and don't bother seeking out alternatives. Google Podcasts barely moved the needle, coming in at a lucky number 13 on the list with a 0.0 percentile. I don't know how that's possible. I can't be bothered putting the OFNT podcast on that app. There's just too many hoops to jump through to do so. While checking my stats, the most used app for this podcast is listed unknown. I attribute this to listeners using podcasting 2.0 apps and other apps not available in the USA. Second most used app for listening to this podcast is Castro, which was dead in the water last year until being sold to a new owner. I have it on my phone, and while the UI isn't the best, it is a beautiful looking app. I must be in the minority, though. Oh, for this show, Apple Podcasts comes in third. Last year, I checked out a new listening app called Metacast. The devs promised to make the app completely podcasting 2.0 compliant. To support these endeavors, I subscribed, which was more expensive to do than other apps out there. The devs had promised to add more features during the next year, but so far have only added very small items. I'm disappointed and will not renew my subscription unless more and better progress is made on the app. What podcast listening apps do you use? The 5th annual Podcast Academy Ampies Award Show was held on Monday, March 31st, and it streamed on the Amazon Music Twitch channel, which obviously is owned by Amazon. More on that later. March 31st was also Trans Visibility Day, as both the show's hosts and award winners were eager to remind the audience, to a point where it felt as if the fact was being rammed down our throats. Pun intended. The following are some of the words I wrote in my notes describing my thoughts on this affair. There'll be no rustling of paper because I used the Apple Notes app on my iPhone for the tasks. Heck, I'll just add an effect to simulate the crinkling of paper. Keeping it real in the field is what I always say. It's more like faking it until making it.
Well, you're not doing a very good job with that.
How about keeping your opinions to yourself? Okay, here we go. Here are the words I wrote down. Trans. Alternative sexual lifestyles. Sparse. Deadpan. Orange Man Bad. Begging. And independent-ish. This year's Ambies Award Show was brought to us by, who else? Amazon, who was the main financial backer, and at this point is probably the only thing propping up the Podcast Academy. Amazon was repaid by the Academy with a bevy of awards for Wondery-exclusive shows. If you weren't aware, Amazon has been the owner of Wondery since acquiring the podcast company back in 2020. Amazon has been increasing its podcasting presence recently, starting with the pushing of the Amazon Music app as the place to consume podcasts. Amazon offers many podcasts ad-free on Amazon Music, to include many of the podcasts I listen to. While this worked for me, I dropped my Spotify subscription and switched to Amazon Music, and that was mainly because of that ad-free experience they offered. Many of the Podcast Academy's past sponsors have disappeared this year. Another sign that things aren't going well for the organization. I'll add in the fact that in order for a podcast to be nominated for an Ambie Award, the host, or I guess nominator, has to be a member of the Podcast Academy and in good standing. The last time I checked, years ago, they wanted $100 annually for independent podcast hosts. I don't recall what the tab was for corporations. Also, each individual podcast nominated has to pay a nomination fee. The amount of this is unknown to me. I'm not sure, but the venue in which the AMB Awards were held in this year seems smaller than last year, as did the size of the live audience. When the camera panned over said audience, a bevy of empty seats could be seen. I'd estimate around 200 people if that was in attendance. Speaking of which, the peak viewership that I observed while watching was 660 viewers, and that peak was reached during the award of the Podcast of the Year trophy, which is usually when it does peak. In previous years, I observed over 1,000 viewers at any given time. This year's host, Tig Notaro, was the most famous person to ever host these awards. Her deadpan delivery made it seem as if she was bored. Her jokes seldom landed with the audience, if at all. Last year's drag queen host was the most entertaining of all the hosts they've ever had, in my opinion, followed by an unknown comedian who hosted the year before. Most of the winning podcast hosts failed to show up to accept their awards and, unlike previous years, didn't bother to provide a video accepting their award. And that's another bad sign for the Academy. Those that did show up, besides pointing out it was Trans Visibility Day, had harsh words for the current administration. Yeah, it's the same old, same old. The Academy honoree this year was Mr. Ira Glass, creator and host of the This American Life public radio show, now just a podcast. He was referred to as the godfather of podcasting.
What?
But I must point out that Mr. Glass, as I've stated previously, started This American Life as a public radio show. NPR let the show go because of the expense of producing it, and nobody was really listening to it after a while. Mr. Glass then pivoted to podcasting and lately has started a paid membership for his show in order to keep it going. It's tough not having the capital influx from National Public Radio and their associated non-governmental organizations, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Glass's acceptance speech was more of a profanity-laced mid-level rant, the likes of which are gaining popularity within the circles his type travels in. Good job in keeping it classy.
No.
I'd tell you what he said, but you can already guess what it was. Yeah, it was Orange Man Bad. I don't know why he's so upset. I mean, he parlayed a overlong, barely entertaining, publicly funded radio show into a podcast and made a living off it for 30 years. He's what you would call a one-trick pony. I'm not going to run down the winners of the various categories of awards here.
Yay!
Anyway, you most likely never heard of these podcasts. Many of the nominees and winners were recycled from previous years. The majority of the winners were backed by Amazon's Wondery podcast service, of course, while National Public Radio came in a close second. The DIY do-it-yourself winner, who also won last year, was and still is backed financially by PRX, which is one of the many podcast distribution arms of, guess who, National Public Radio. As one stream viewer commented, the winner was independent-ish. As was the winner of the independent category, who, during their acceptance speech, thanked their manager and crew. That show was hosted by, you probably guessed it, PRX. I don't know about you, but DIY and independent means A. You do everything yourself with no financial help from corporations, be they public or private. And B. You do everything in-house, writing, editing, recording, etc. Perhaps I've gotten those definitions wrong. If this wasn't bad enough, we were subjected to a full 10 minutes of e-begging by members of the Podcast Academy, in which the word inclusive was constantly used during the pitch. Now, this is going to be controversial, but for me, that's code words for Caucasians need not apply. Well, at least in these modern times. Gone are the true pioneers of podcasting on the Academy's board of directors and the truly independent podcasts among the nominees, both groups having been jettisoned after the first year of the Academy's existence. As the Podfather himself, Mr. Adam Curry, stated on last Sunday's episode of the No Agenda podcast, the Podcast Academy is a leftist organization which he would never join or be associated with. I guess no AMBY will ever be awarded to him. After watching this debacle, I've decided that this year's AMBY's award show will be my last. Unless something changes, I can't see the Podcasting Academy lasting much longer. The music has started playing on yet another Sunday evening as this episode fades into podcast history. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can always make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com, and that's if you're so inclined. I'd enjoy hearing from you. Remember, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. While this episode is over, I noticed that you're still hanging around here. So get off my lawn. Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This weekend only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.